Praise the Lord. I'm excited because I'm reminded today of the fact that we have a living hope. We don't have a dead letter. We don't have a dead Lord. We've got a living Lord. He's alive. He's just as much in this room as you are in this room. And we need to come to terms with the fact that we don't serve a God that someday we're going to get to see. We serve a God that you can see today if you'll only look with your spiritual eyes and see that He is no longer in the grave. He is alive. And He is with us, and He is walking with us, and He is talking with us, and He loves us with all of our, with all of His heart, not with all of our heart, all of His heart, right? I was going to say all of our heart, all of His heart. This is exciting time, and we need to understand that Easter, every day is Easter if you're a believer. Every day is Easter if you're a believer, because you're alive in Christ. You're not dead, you're alive. And I want you to, I'm going to take you through a little bit of a downer for just a second, because in actuality, death reigned. Death reigned over this planet. The curse reigned. We talked about that a week or so ago. And death reigned over this planet. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross and He shed His blood and He died, death no longer reigns. Amen? That deserves a big hand, a big round of applause. The fact of the matter is, you were headed towards death. You were headed towards death. You had absolutely no opportunity to get into the kingdom of heaven. Didn't make any difference how good you were. Didn't make any difference how much money you put in the offering plate, although that's a good thing. It doesn't make any difference how many good works you do, how many times you serve on a meals line. It doesn't make any difference, all those things. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. But if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, you've got all that God wants you to have in life. And He will provide it for you, and He will show you all those wonderful things. Now, we're going to talk a minute about Easter. How many love Easter? You love Easter? You love getting candy and bunny, little bunny? You know, I'm not going to go into a big history lesson, but, I always wonder, where did all these wonderful things like Easter eggs and bunnies come from? Does anybody have any idea where they come from? Doesn't matter, does it? Because Easter eggs, they come from Walmart. Did someone say Walmart? Or what? Hallmark. Oh, Hallmark. Hallmark. I thought somebody said Walmart. And I said, you said Walmart. Both of you are correct. They come from Walmart and Hallmark. There's really no religious significance of the bunny. In fact, if there is a religious significance, it's a kind of a pagan significance, because it sort of goes along with the pagan god Easter or Oster, okay, or however you want to pronounce that, which was a pagan fertility god. But it sort of started in the 12th, 13th century, where they started adding eggs and bunnies and things like that. Why? So if those were pagans things, then why do we engage? Well, we engage them for fun because we've got kids. We're giving out Easter eggs, I believe, for the kids. But they have roots in them that really don't have anything to do with Easter. But you know what? We can redeem things that the devil has used. And so we're going to redeem those things today, Easter eggs and Easter bunnies, because you know what? I like Easter eggs, and I like Easter bunnies. You know why I like Easter bunnies? Because they're made of chocolate. And I'm going to eat one right now. Jealous? Love Easter eggs, love Easter bunnies. But how can we redeem them? Because really, Easter eggs and Easter bunnies, they sort of talk about fertility, but actually they're about life. They're about life-giving. We know that Easter bunnies, or not Easter bunnies, but bunnies themselves, they produce real rapidly. It's sort of symbolic of life. And eggs, of course, are symbolic of life, even though they may have their roots in some pagan, 12th century, 13th century pagan religion. We bring those things in, not as symbols of Christ, but as symbols of the life that Christ gives. So we're going to redeem those today. We're going to redeem them. When I think of a bunny, I'm going to think about the fact that, I'm no spring chicken. And I need to go back to my bunny roots. I was just talking with someone here about the fact that we got out into, when we were in Bali, we got the chance to go snorkeling, and we were down there snorkeling with the fishes, swimming with the fishes. Oh, it was wonderful. And I put on that snorkel mask, and I don't know if you've ever snorkeled, but when you snorkel, unless you've got a full face mask, you get a little mask, you sort of have to breathe in with just your mouth, and you can't breathe in with your nose. So I don't know if you ever tried to just breathe in with either your mouth or your nose only. Sometimes it feels like you don't have enough breath. And when you get into the water, it feels like you don't have enough breath. So you got to sort of stop panicking for just a few moments and just let the air flow. Let it flow and just relax. And while I was down there, I can see all the wonderful fish. We found out, you know what, there's a lot of life on this planet that God has given to us. There's a lot of life that He's produced for us. And when spring comes, we see that life. As I was down there watching the fishes, I got to see Nemo, and I got to see Dory, you know, down there. And I got to see, I can't remember some of the other names of the fish, you know, from Finding Nemo, but I got to see all the life that was going on. All symbolic of the fact that God gives life. And in so many Christians' lives, they sort of embrace death. And we've got to let go of death, and we've got to embrace the life that is in Christ Jesus. Even as a church, when we worship, that's why we need to worship with exuberance. We need to worship with passion. We need to worship as if we're in the very presence of God, because guess what? We are in the presence of God, because God gives life. He doesn't give death. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about what's on the other side. We don't have to worry about death anymore, because the back of death has been broken. It's been broken by our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's given us life. And He wants us to know about the life that is in Him. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, the 10th chapter. And in John 10:10, we see that Jesus came not to bring death, but to bring life. Where did this death cycle come from? Where did this death come from? Well, it started in the book of Genesis. We're not going to turn there. Turn to John 10:10. It started in Genesis. And in Genesis, and in the first few pages of Genesis, in the first few chapters, we see God create life, and He said it's good, it's very good. And then man got a hold of life, and he disobeyed God, and death immediately happened. Now, death didn't take place, you know, Adam and Eve didn't just die like that, but what happened is they went into a death spiral. They went into a death process where now all of creation is dying. We talked about this last week, I believe, or the week before, I don't remember. The days are running together for me now. But it's called the curse. And that curse brought death. And Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God, and death was passed on to all mankind. Now we're dead at that point. And that spiral began. And what happens is Adam and Eve didn't drop dead at that moment, but their bodies began to deteriorate from that very time. They lived to be 900 and something years old. And then we see Melchizedek come along, and he lives to about 960 something years old. And at that point, people started dying more rapidly. They lived less longer. Why? Because the death cycle had happened. The curse was on the planet, and everyone was dying at a faster rate. And it comes to our generation, and now we are at a place where we're dying. This last few years have been horrible for our church in losing people from our plane of existence. It's been great for the kingdom of heaven, because God has taken home several of our saints, many of our saints from our church, but we've lost a lot of different people. And that death, you know, when you're young, how many young people we got in here? Go ahead and raise your hand, young people we got in here. Dad, put your hand down. No, raise your hand up. I'm just kidding you. Oh, everyone ought to be raising their hands, because you're all young. In comparison to eternity, what God has planned for us, we're all young. But many times when we get to my age and it's harder to get out of bed, sometimes it's, you know, I find myself watching a movie that I really like watching, and in before the middle of it comes, I'm already snoring on the couch, and Heidi's telling me, Chris, stop snoring. I'm already seeing the death process at work in me. Can anybody relate? So that's why I get up and want to worship God. I want to get that life back into me because I know it's there. But the death is working on my body. Okay? And that's what was happening there. And we've lost a lot of saints here at Central Christian over the last 2 years. A lot of saints have gone to be with the Lord. And a lot of times when you're young, though, when you're physically young in comparison to us, you don't really think about that unless a tragedy takes place in your life. And we've had people who have had tragedies take place. Young people have had tragedies, and they've experienced really difficult things. And for them, death becomes real. But for some of our young people, especially our teenagers and young 20-somethings, a lot of times they don't think about death because they think, well, I'm going to live forever. You ever said that? I'm going to live forever. I remember when I was a teenager and I look at 30-year-old people, I think, man, those people are old. They're going to be dying soon. Now I'm looking at Adam, and man, he's a youngster, but you're 30 now, aren't you? Oh, congratulations, you made it. It's all down here for Nair. No, I'm just kidding. The death is working in us, though. This last week, and I'm going to say a sad thing, but I'm going to give you a happy thing right behind it. It's kind of a sad thing. And this it does not compare to some of you who have lost loved ones, but this last week we had two dogs. And the other night I let both of them out at night to do their business, you know, and play a little bit, and only one of them came back. It was Charlie came back, our big dog. Charlie was in the backyard with our little dog, Riley, who's like a little Shih Tzu sized dog. Charlie is a golden doodle, so she's big. And they were both in our backyard, and Charlie came back, our golden doodle came back, but Riley didn't. And so I go out in the backyard, and I start looking around. I'm looking around for where's Riley at? And I didn't see her. I came in, and Heidi was already in bed. I said, Heidi, you need to get up. I can't find Riley. And so we looked around the house. She went out in the backyard. Did you go out in the backyard? Then I went out the front. I said, well, she's not going to be out the front because she can't get out because our property is surrounded by gates, or by fences. You really can't get out. And there really was, and Riley doesn't go out anyway. She doesn't go anywhere more than 10 feet from the door, back door. And we found out that Riley was out front. She was out front in the street. And she had died. And I walked over to her to pick her up, and I'm going, Riley, what happened? And I thought, well, how did you get out? And you wouldn't go out because she wouldn't leave Charlie. And I picked her up, and I could see death on her. And as I picked her up, you could see the life was not in her. And so I brought her back in, and we discussed it. And we determined that she must have been picked up by a bird or something because she wouldn't be able to get out, and she wouldn't get out even if she could. And she wouldn't leave Charlie, even if she could get out. And she did, she wouldn't leave. Charlie would have to go. Well, Charlie didn't. Charlie was at the back door wanting in. And so we tried to determine that maybe a bird had picked her up and then dropped her, which some birds of prey happen to do, and then come back later. The only nice thing about this whole thing is we found Riley, because if we'd never found her, we'd been in agony. We found her, and we took her to our backyard, and we buried her with some of our other pets. It's a pet cemetery back there for the Haydens, I'm telling you. So we put her back there, and we found the next day there were birds of prey that were all over our neighborhood, all over Flax Mill. I mean, they were circling, looking for something. We believe it was that the birds were looking for Riley. So, tough luck. You're not getting her. Later on today, we're going to go and we're going to pray. Now, I don't know if certain animals are going to be in heaven, but I'm going to tell you something. If you love an animal, and you need an animal when you get to heaven, that animal is going to be there. Because God is going to make sure you have everything you need. And if you need that animal there, that animal will be. We believe that while animals don't necessarily have souls like human beings, they don't get saved like we do, that doesn't mean we're not going to see them in heaven. That doesn't mean that. Because God gives life. And we there experienced death. And we've experienced death with pets before, but we've also experienced death with loved ones. And it's horrendously destructive to our souls when we see someone go. Because we want to love them. Now God makes a way that it can change from destruction to life. And in John 10, Jesus said this. He says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life." And not only life, but life in abundance. And see, God has provided life in abundance for us. He's provided life in abundance for our families. When he died on the cross, death was shattered and taken away. And that's why we celebrate Resurrection Day. Because Jesus bought us eternity. And you need to think about eternity for just a few moments. Eternity is, guess what? You know, I've looked it up, and in the Greek, the word eternity, it means eternity. It means forever. That it doesn't end. It doesn't end. It doesn't end.